I'm not allowed to say how many PW listeners were involved in either the Wigan 10K or the Great North Run, but I counted them all out and I counted them all back again. The athletes were unhurt, cheerful and jubilant, giving thumbs up signs as they crossed the finish line. What a magnificent effort from one and all. A big weekend of fun to look back upon. The PWU, Latics 11, Brentford and Hull previews, plus Jimmy Vaughan exclusive interview. This is the Progress with Unity podcast. Come on. Evening, fellas.
Barry.
Evening.
Right. This evening we've got Gareth.
Hello.
Adam.
Hello.
Paul.
Hello.
And Si.
You alright, Barry? How's it going, lads?
Very well, thank you. Southern Adam. Southern Adam is down in London. I think he's trying to get into Soccer AM on Saturday morning, if the rumours are correct. Is that
it's
right?
Either that or trying to get a beer off Billy the Bee.
Billy the Bee, yeah. Well, we'll come to Billy the Bee in a little while. What a weekend we've had. No games.
It's happened.
Yeah. There's been a lot of running around, literally. I did the Wigan 10K and lots of other latics.
Well done, Barry, and well done to everyone else who took part.
Listeners, I know a lot of our listeners got bumped into them all. And we had two people doing the Great North Run as well, didn't we?
Yeah. So,
Paul Kendrick being one. All right, Paul. He unfortunately isn't too well this evening, so we can't make it. I know we advertised he was going to be on the show, but he's had to pull out at the last minute. Understandably so, but he will be on next week when there may be...
contraception aren't available.
There may be news about potential takeovers by then, so maybe that's why he's... You know, that's his little game. We know what you're up to there, Mr. Kendrick.
A big shout out to Mark Hayes as well.
Massive shout out, yeah.
Did you read his little story put out about the bloke who spurred him on with about a mile to go and his feet were bleeding and, you know, fair play to you, pal. You really earned that beer at the end.
He did, yeah. Obviously, Mark is a massive Latics fan. He's an ambassador for Joseph's Goal and he's also the chairman of Ashton Athletic.
Town.
Sorry, Mike. He's also the chairman of Ashton Town.
He is.
Where the Legends games are held every year.
Hey, Man United this year.
Well, I was just going to come to that. But
sorry,
Mike. You made the announcement.
No, you make it.
No, you make it.
Well, yeah. Obviously, we've been used to playing City, haven't we? And the Dutch Masters and all that. And Manchester United are going to be rolling into Ashton to take on the Latics, and I believe Ariane Dizou will be at the back for the Latics. Saw a message going out to Andre Kanchelskis. So, yeah, it'll be a great game. It always is, isn't it? End of the season, something to look forward to.
He's changed a bit, though, Andre. I don't know if you've seen him recently.
Who?
Andre Kanchelskis. No. He has changed a bit. He needs to train a bit.
Right, okay, yeah, well, yeah. He'll not get past our defence then, will he?
No, he won't. Right, okay, let's move on after our intros. Before we do, Adam, you was over in Spain watching the England game, I believe, even though it was at Wembley.
And even though I came back on Friday, but...
Hey! Yeah, you've been out to Spain then.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, excellent.
Wearing my wig and top, so spreading the word.
Beach towel wasn't that big though, was it?
No, it was a bit disappointing really. I think they need to up the game. On beach towels and stuff.
I've got one of those. Yeah.
More face towels then, haven't they? I think.
Well, it doesn't cover me where it needs to cover me. If you know where I'm coming from.
All right, Barry.
It leaves nothing to the imagination, shall we say?
Okay.
When I'm coming out of the shower after my football session.
So those at Latics who are listening to this and want to get that image out of their heads, bigger towels.
Bigger towels. That's it. Bigger towels. Right. Okay. Let's move on. This week, Si, you've managed to pop some questions towards. One of the Latics players, haven't you?
Yeah. It was, you know, we've been screaming out for it to come back, haven't we? The player interviews. And this week, we caught up with the main man himself, who scored our last goal in the league.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Super James Warney.
Yeah. I'm not saying the next line.
Well, no, as you'll hear.
I think Fran Mike, I know Fran... did like that song.
As you'll hear in the interview, both Nick and James shy away from completing the lyrics.
Right, okay. Let's give it a blast then, shall we? Yeah.
So, Vaughan, a great result the last time out. You scored the goal, but what would you say is your favourite moment so far in a Latic shirt? That was, it looked like that was quite high up there with the celebration.
Yeah, that was good, I think, but the end of last season getting promoted was the most enjoyable thing for me. We all had a target, and you know, when we clinched it, that was a big relief, but a great day, and then we all went out and celebrated together, so that was probably my highlight of my career here so far.
So we got promotion last season. Obviously, staying in the league would be a big thing for us this season, but having started as we have, what are your targets for the campaign as a team and personally?
It's hard to judge, really. It's early days, but we can only go into every game, and the way we are, the way the management team set us up, is we go into every game trying to win the game, so you know, try and pick up as many points as we can and see where that takes us.
We've seen players like Anthony Robinson and Reece James coming on loan, young guys from different clubs and really take to the environment and the team. But is there anyone in the team who maybe we haven't quite unlocked that potential yet that you see in training that impresses you?
I think there's a lot. I think for me it's hard to look past Reece James. I know you've mentioned him, but you know, without putting too much pressure on him, I really feel he can go to the very top and kick on again. So for me it's definitely Reece James.
There's a few of our lads coming through from the academy that have been involved, and you've played with them in that game at Rotherham. What are they like to play with? What are some of the young lads who come up to train like to play with?
Yeah, you know, some of them, you know, Joffy and Jensen Weir, they're both two very good players and very young but keen to learn, and they've impressed me when they've come up to train with us and play.
One player who probably impresses you all the time, you don't particularly get to play with him much, you generally swap between you, Will Grigg, but the big question is, who's got the better song, you or Will Grigg?
Well, Griggy's is global, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So you can't really argue with that, but you know, I enjoy mine, I enjoy his as well, as much as anything, so, but you'd have to say Griggy's, everyone in the world knows that song.
That's the popular one, but yours is a bit of a cult one, isn't it? Because we probably wouldn't repeat it ourselves, but the fans seem to love it.
Yeah, it's a great song. It comes from nowhere for me, to be honest, but I really enjoy hearing it, and hopefully I can get the fans singing it a few more times this season.
You've generally, you know, you've enjoyed quite a lot of away days with us. You've scored some good goals in those away days. Particularly one that springs to mind was Rochdale last season. It'd been kicked off a little bit in the corner once you scored, but those games, those days, do you enjoy playing away from home, going on the road and travel, the travelling fans coming with you?
Yeah, definitely. I think wherever you go, the travelling fans tend to be the diehard fans, and you know, they always get behind us, and it's always great to get wins and points on the board in front of them, so hopefully long may that continue.
Brentford this weekend, for fans, we're taking close to 1,000 fans down to a ground which is tight to the pitch, and I'm sure the atmosphere will be great, but what ground would you say you're looking forward to visiting this season?
Probably Birmingham City. I'm a Birmingham boy, you know, my dad supports them, played for them in the past, so definitely looking forward to that.
That ended quite abruptly, didn't it?
It did, yes. Yeah, I think Nick must have had some bourbons waiting for him.
Oh, talking of bourbons, what's been going on up the road at Bourbon Wanderers?
Well, I mean, we were all talking, weren't we, and we didn't want it to potentially destroy the club, because, you know, we know people who are football fans and sport balls and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, they've broken rules, they've not adhered to guidelines, and they've not been punished. They've walked away scot-free.
Again?
Yep.
I wonder, do you think Ken Anderson's been, well, not so clever, but he's trying to be a little bit clever, coming out like he did with what he's come out with? Forcing the company's hand to accept the offers, or do you think there's something else going on? He's been suggested there's an American billionaire.
And this is, I mean, Adam may have different views from Father Convery, but one of my friends said that it's all making way now for this new owner, but we know how long it takes to get new owners in, and if you're still racking up that amount of debt week in, week out with no money to go in, they're going to be in the same position in no time at all.
Yeah, and there's still wages to pay from last year, haven't there?
Yeah, well,
Carl Emery, yeah.
I mean, he's made no secret about it, has he?
No.
And at the end of the day, he's right in what he's saying. he signed up to that contract, he did what he needed to do, and that was a term, or whatever it was in his contract, but it'd be interesting to know what the...
I wonder if he stays in a Premier Inn.
Well, that's slightly Henry, isn't it? Yeah.
What's your dad had to say on the...
To be fair, he's not been at the house this week, so I've not really had a chat with him about it. But I think... I guess you've all read the statement from Gallant, and he's put the pressure on the people
Blue
know. Is quite a clever move, because then he was pretty much placing the blame on them, that the fact that this is situations are always, when really, you know, it's down to him, which is quite a clever move. But the EFL don't like to see clubs go into administration, so it would have took something pretty serious, over a £4 million or whatever it was loan. I think
it's nothing in the game now.
Nothing really, is it? So, as soon as I heard the news, I thought this won't be happening, because they got extra time the morning after, and it's never good to see a club have to go down that route, whoever it is, really. And they're a rival, and you want a rival, don't you? You want a rival club.
And I think as well, like we said, we've got friends, family members who are diehard. I can't say that word. Fans.
Of Orange.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you want to be able to have that banter, don't you? And for them, you have some humane feeling.
Yeah, there's a bit of their but for the grace of God go all of us, don't we?
It was like the guy.
Club everywhere.
The guy from QPR who was on the other week, he was saying what was going on, what had been going on with their club. And although we give QPR a lot of stick because it's affected us directly, but you still, the fans didn't want it to happen.
And you think about the thing is, before, during, and after, the fans are always going to be at that club of the owners. You know what I mean? People, you were there before Whelan, you were there after Whelan. We're all here before the new owners, and we'll probably all be here after the new owners.
I'm not older than Dave Whelan, you know.
You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? The club's ours, isn't it? We have that belonging. And
I think it's very easy to sort of go, all them buggers over the road, but once you break it down to individuals, like I say, it could happen to anybody, and you want to give them stick as a group, but once you get individuals, that's when the nonsense tends to stop and you end up with sensible conversations. If you go away and you're in a pub with somebody and you're just having a chat about the football, you end up walking away with new friends in some cases.
Because you all want the same thing.
Yeah. If you're all in a big mob, then it becomes a different mentality.
When we play them in December, all the abuse that's going to be hurled across will be about the debts and everything like that. But like I say, I have a conversation with my mates the last day about what's been going on, and you feel for them because they're there for thick and thin. They pay to go week out.
None of them are responsible, are they?
No.
There's loads of players who have played for both clubs and will have allegiances to both clubs. No matter what we think, we all say Ali Abdi is a Blue, he is Bolton and things like that, but he played for Bolton for a long time, didn't he?
That's fair, and you can look at Per Frampton, he's played a long time at Bolton. And
Scott Green, David Lee, Tony Keller. You can just start ramming them all out, don't mention Arnold, you've done it now. John McGinley.
Chief scout.
Right, we've said enough now. Come on, let's move on. Just before we leave, Eddie Davis, the former owner, sadly passed away this week as well.
Eddie, and thoughts with all his family. Can I just, while we're on the subject of other clubs, just give another shout out to Chorley FC. Still top of the league.
The Magpies.
Won again at the weekend. And then the only blot on their paperwork this season is a draw. So.
Who was that against?
Two
apiece, were it?
Yeah, it was two apiece. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Brackley? Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you say from down south? I thought it was in the Conference North.
They're on the Brentford preview now, Barry.
Okay. They are from down south, Brentford. Right. Saturday, we're travelling down south to West London, where we will meet Brentford, the Busy Bees. The referee for that game is Darren England. We've previously played Brentford 35 times down the years, including once in the Freight Rover Trophy final, which we won 3-1. We've won 19 of those games, drawn 9, and only lost 7, so we've got quite a decent record against them. But I do feel they're in a little bit of good form at the moment.
Have you seen the experimental 365, which the club have tweeted? That us and Brentford are in the same category, aren't we?
Yeah, the prediction for some calculations made on passing and possession and all the rest of it. Have us finishing top and then finishing second at the end of the season.
That's got to be shots at goal, hasn't it? It'd be one of the primary.
It's everything. There's lots.
That's the area.
I agree with it. Though.
These guys making these up. Yeah. They know what they're talking
about.
They
know. You don't see a poor bookie, do you?
No.
Well, we've said in the last few weeks the results don't reflect where we should be.
No, they don't.
We've done all right so far.
Yeah. We've managed to have a little chat. Or Adam, we're going to bring Adam Asks the feature in here. Adam Pendlebury has been speaking with Billy the B Grant over Skype, I believe. I think Billy the B Grant is an international jet setter and is at the moment is in the United States of America. Now, it's quite a long interview, so what we've decided to do, we're going to put a little bit on the podcast and the rest is going to go onto our YouTube page. For those of you who didn't know, we had a YouTube page. Just search Progressive Unity
Podcast.
YouTube. A little bit. And we'll also put a link out for it. So let's just have a listen to what Billy says about the game on Saturday.
We play an attacking style, really. I mean, our last couple of games, there's only been a couple of goals, but we did start off the season with the 2-2 draw, a couple of 3-2s either way. And so there seems to be goals. I'm just wondering, like, whether the way you set up and the way you think we're going to set up, do you think there are going to be goals on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, again, it depends if you're coming to play football. If you're coming to park the bus, as they say,
we will play football. We'll play football. We don't know how to park the bus.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the thing about it is that there's going to be goals because we score goals. We seem to, even though we try not to, we still let in a few goals here and there as well. You know, our defence has tightened up recently, as we've got two fantastic central defenders, Chris Meppham, who played for Wales the last couple of games. He came from our B team, which is our academy, which got disbanded and got moved into the B team. And he's played about 20 odd games for us, but now he's a key Wales player. He's only 20, and this guy called Konsa, Erzi Konsa as well. We got him from Charlton, kind of season as well. He's only 20 years old, fantastic. They're both ball playing. So our defence has tightened up to a certain extent, but we've been making these really silly mistakes, you know what I'm saying? You know, where we've, like, you know, the goalkeeper's heading the ball straight to kind of, you know, giving him an open goal, just things like that. So we have to be careful of that. So for me to go around and say, definitely we're not going to let in a goal, I'll say no. We're playing attacking football, which means that, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. We like to play, as you've probably seen our stats, we pass the ball around like it's, you know, it's just like it's fun. That's just what we do. We pass the ball around. You've got the triangles passing the ball around. Whether or not we can actually make the incisions and get ourselves into dangerous areas, that is the key. You know, we did have the most shots in the whole of, I think it might be the whole of the Football League last season, and obviously missed the most shots in the Football League, but at least we're creating the chances, which is a good thing. Last couple of games, two games, we've done all right. We've created a lot of chances in quite a few of the games, except for the Blackburn game up at Blackburn, where we just had an off game. We just lost there. They had one shot. They scored the one shot. We had three saves by the goalkeeper and a few other bits. We just didn't win there. But that was a bit of a weird one for us. But other than that, you know, we played Forest and we literally played them pretty much off the park. But we just beat them 2-1 with a late goal, an 81st and second minute goal, where technically we should have been 3-0 up at half-time. So this is where, you know, when you ask me the question, how's it going to go? We play our great football, will we be able to finish? The thing that we didn't have last week and against Blackburn was Malpay, who last season, Malpay, you may or may not seen, he got laughed off the earth because he got in front of the goal at Blackburn and literally he could have just touched it in and it had gone in, and somehow he managed to sort of kind of spoon it, and I think it went over the crossbar.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
He got absolutely caned for that, and to be fair to him, he came back from that and still became our top scorer, and with most of his goals coming off the bench. The belief was that he's young, he's from France, he didn't quite understand the game here, he's beginning to learn it, and he's going to become a better and a stronger player. This season he's showing it already, he's a top scorer in the Championship, even though he's been out for three matches. You know, he's scored, I think, 5 goals and 5 assists or something like that. He's a proper little terrier, and he's a real pain in the arse. You know, when you see him playing against him, he's just a real, real pain. So the fact that he's back on Saturday is a really big boost for us, and I think that will probably just up the ante a little bit. And for Brentford, If we play the football that we normally play, we don't get any injuries, as we said, we get the ball up to Mountpay, I'll see us winning probably 3-1 on Saturday.
3-1. Okay. I mean, obviously we know it's going to be a tough game, and if we can come away though with anything from the game, really, against a side who I believe will be sort of at least in the top eight, if not the top six. So I mean, it'll be a good game, and that's the thing we've all been saying. We're enjoying the football. It's great football to watch. And if we lost to Aston Villa 3-2, it's very disappointing when you lose in the last minute. But once the dust settles, we're kind of the view this is great football. We're attacking. We are breaking teams down. We look like we can score.
Get rid of all these big teams who spend all their money and expect to be up there. Let's have them a little bit of a teaching of a lesson. You know, Birmingham City, and I know you probably say I'm saying it because we've got this rivalry from them that goes back to the 90s and it stretches back to now. The fact that they nicked three of our players and completely and utterly took the piss out of us last season, and they nicked Hotspur, Colin for £12 million, £10 million, beginning of last season, and just said that we're a feeder club and all that was business. And we ended up beating them 7-0 on aggregate last season, probably spending about a third of that money, or about six of that money on new players. And they're now in possible administration nonsense, you know what I'm saying? So it just goes to show you that it's not necessarily about spending your money out of a mess or spending your money up to success. It's actually about, you know, taking your money and spending it wisely. And I know that sounds like a real cliche, but, you know, I think people have got respect for teams who go out there and do things in a particular way and do well. So, you know, if you play, you know, I mean, Nottingham Forest is not a good example because they're just spending their way out as well, and they're in a bit of a pickle. But, you know, if you see a team who's cleverly picking up players, you know, either on loan or loan to sign, or signing with the right type of way, or finding players that people don't know about, you know, I'm not talking about us, but other teams, as a fan, because you enjoy football and you sort of think, to be honest with you, as a team, I don't want you... my team charging me £40 a week to go and see me play because you do your administration really badly and you keep on signing these managers who are rubbish, then you sack them, you've got to pay them a load of money, you keep playing players 20, 25, 30 grand a week who are rubbish, and then you end up expecting the fans to pay them. To me, that's not right. To me, we have more respect for teams who do things the right way, because if you do things the right way, then you've got respect for everyone associated with the club, including the fans, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, thanks very much for that. That was a fantastic insight. See you on Saturday, and let's hope it's a great game, and the result will be what it is.
Check us as well. I mean, like I said to you, the Wigan posse are coming up to the pub before, and you all know which the pub is. I won't necessarily put an announcement on there, but, you know, all the Wigan fans, it won't take you very long to come to the pub that we drink in. Live see the Mud Hut crew thing are coming down there. Cheryl Felix is coming down as well. I think you guys are coming down as well. More than welcome to Brilliant. So we'll see you lot down there as well. If you see us, we'll be with our videos. We do our video after the game, and also we do a post-match podcast on Beside. Beside.com is our website. We do a post-match podcast, and we record it with the fans home and away fans. You give us your views straight after the game, and it's normally live by about 6:30, 7 o'clock. So if you're driving home or in the train home to Wigan, you can listen to that, and it's normally very entertaining.
I'm sure it is, yeah. Okay, cheers for that. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Well, there's one thing about Billy and Adam, and they certainly have this in common: they can talk.
Well, they're meeting up at the Globe near Brentford's ground on Saturday, open from 10:30-ish, and you won't be able to get a word in edgeways between them two, will you?
Not a chance. You can sell Adam's a lawyer, can't you?
Oh.
And Billy's a media darling, so, I mean, Billy's it off.
And if you've not seen Billy, I mean, I think pretty much everyone will have. He appears a lot of time on the channel, on the Quest and Sky Sports fan segments, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he was on BBC and ITV a lot during the World Cup as well.
Yeah,
as well.
Nice bloke.
Yeah, but really enthusiastic about football as well. So.
Loves, he's besotted.
Besotted, yeah. But he's a genuine fan though, and he cares for all the fans, and he wants them to enjoy the experience, which is
I must admit, when we went to QPR, he was texting me where to go and you know, what to do, so.
Brilliant.
Top bloke.
Absolutely. One thing about Saturday, which could be quite sad, is it's our last visit, unless we obviously draw them in the cup, it's be our last visit to Griffin Park, because it's closing down after this season.
Everything must go.
Yeah, they're moving into the new ground.
Where is the new ground? This is a trick question, because I was trying to work out.
I don't think it's too far away, is it? I mean, I remember seeing the plans for it a couple of years back.
I'm going to guess it's somewhere in Brentford.
Brent.
No, I mean, yeah, they need to catch up on it because it's a traditional football ground.
It's had a pub in each corner.
Yeah, and that's one thing they'll miss, won't it? Unless they've replicated it.
Well, one of them was shut, that one of the pubs. There's only three at the moment. Right, Gareth, what sort of form are the Bees in?
Very good, the answer to that question, the short answer to that question. Of the six games so far, they find themselves in fifth position, which is brilliant, really, with 11 points, having won three, drawn two, and lost just one of their six games. They won the first game 5-1 against Rotherham, drew at Stoke, they beat Sheffield Wednesday, they drew at Aston Villa, which you've got to say is pretty good, they lost at Blackburn, and then they beat Forest 2-1 most recently. So they're doing quite well.
So they've played similar teams to us, haven't they? And the results have not been too dissimilar to us.
No. To put it in perspective, they're a point clear. So.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, the last minute goal we conceded away at Villa, or the dodgy penalty against Forest would have seen us above them. So what I'm alluding to here, it's going to be two teams very close to each other, in, not only in league position, but also in confidence and the styles of play and everything else. It should be a cracking game, this.
Should be. Fine margins.
Yeah. Anybody standing out player-wise at the moment for them? Do we know anyone?
Honestly, Barry, this is a rare case, but I don't really know anyone from Brentford who plays for him, which is bad. It's not like an insult to them, but they clearly got a good group of players, and you know.
Well, a good manager, aren't they?
Good manager. From good football. From Walsall.
Yeah, from Walsall.
Who were doing well with them, wasn't he, I think? When we were in League
One. Yeah, they were top of the table, weren't they?
Yeah, so.
And then Darren Clark, is it?
Dean Smith.
Yeah, golfer. I think it's the radical thing in it. Dean Smith.
So if he'd have stayed on that season, they'd have finished second instead of Burton.
I think it took him a best place to be is to settle in with them, though, isn't it? To get his style over to them.
Yeah, it always does take that long. If you've got a style like he has, it's going to take time, isn't it? And it clearly is paying off now. You know, it'll be a good game.
He took some players from Walsall with him, didn't he?
He took that Rico Henry, I think his name is. He was a promising left back.
Yeah, Chowdhury.
Romain Sawyers.
Sawyers, that's the one,
He was a bit of a danger man in League One.
Yeah, and Egan?
John Egan. I think he's now gone to Sheffield United, hasn't he?
He has moved on.
But he's playing for Scotland, I think, as well. He's got into the national team, so.
That's not hard, though, is it?
No.
That's just from a sister-in-law who's Scottish.
Well, nice one. Have you got a prediction, Gareth, for us?
He's got to keep his lead up.
I'm going for a Latics win, 2-0.
Oh!
But why not?
Adam, do you think we'll have any international backlash with Griggs, Marcia, Robinson, James all been away this week?
No. I think we'll be alright. I think they'll all have confidence because I think they all at least were involved in a win. I know Robinson assisted the winner last night, which is good against Mexico, who are not a bad team. Obviously, Griggs scored against Bosnia, so they'll be high on confidence, and that can only be a good thing, I think. So, like I said, two attacking teams. I can't see us sitting back. I think we'll concede, but I also think we'll score, so I'll go for a 2-2.
Desmond.
Paul, do you think, I was mentioning Will Grigley, do you think ex-Brentford player, obviously where we got him from, and he didn't really get much of a chance there, did he, in his time there, do you think he might have a point to prove?
No more so than he's got every game. Again, taking it back to the human element, there's probably going to be staff down there still that he knows, and you know, like ground staff and what have you. So
the Julie Lavins of the world.
The
other thing, I mean, Brentford signed Griggs from Walsall, which is where Dean Smith came from, so he might be known.
I was taken more so by Adam's comments there about Robinson going from playing Mexico to playing Brentford. It's a bit of a difference, isn't it? Anyway, just thought I'd mention that. Predictions. I will have us squeaking a 1-0.
Barry. Yeah, well, they're always funny games off the back of internationals, aren't they? The first game back, I don't know, clubs, they never seem, they're very difficult to predict, I think. But I do believe it's going to be a cracking year, this. An absolute stormer. No, Sam, I'm not going for 0-0. I think it'll be another 3-2 scoreline. Now, which way will it go? I think flip a coin and it'll come out whichever way. I mean, luckily for us, I've flipped mine and it's come out on the L side for Latix. So I'm going to go for a 3-2 Latix win.
When you said L side, I thought you meant loss.
This will be your fifth prediction of a 3-2 win.
What else can you predict this season? I mean, you can predict 1-0, 0-0, and all that, and you get them right, but...
predict whatever you want.
Yeah.
Put 27 apiece if you want.
So, the odds, which I know is what everyone's after, and I get ridiculed now. Brentford are evens, the draw of them to 4, the Latix are 3-1.
3-1?
Yeah.
Really?
They're evens. I'm some of that.
3-1.
Just gone for 4 homes, 4 draws, 4 aways. So, Brentford first, 1-0, 8-1, 2-0, 9-1, 2-1, 7-1, 3-0, 14-1. The draws, 0-0, 14-1, 1-all, 13-2, 2-2, 12-1, 3-all, 45-1, not bad at all. Latix wins 1-0, 14-1, 2-0, 25-1, 2-1, 12-1, 3-0, 60-1. But we laughed at that against Stoke. And
who's laughing now?
Well, that's it. I'm going for a 1-all draw down at Griffin Park.
That's not a bad shout, that, to be fair. What odds are we now for promotion and going up? Are we at our longest?
I think we had this 8-1.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
No.
Especially on the back of that piece that puts us as, say, we're likely to finish top.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the results and believe that we've under-delivered in terms of points for what we've deserved based on the performances.
It's not just under that 2 points a game as well, aren't we, Paul?
It's not a bad time to... Well, we're 2 points shy of that, aren't we? Because we're only 10 from 6.
Yeah, but we're getting there.
Not
far. It'll come.
It will come. Right, Si, we've been running a poll on after the suggestion Jesus. From one of our listeners, is David Warrington.
Yeah, David was a Warrington.
He's come up with the idea of us selecting a Latix 11. So over the next 11 weeks... well, it'll be the next 10 weeks, won't it? Because we've already done one. We'll be running through a 4-4-2 formation.
Yeah.
And you'll be throwing your weight behind certain players to put in the poll and getting all the stick and grief.
Yeah, up. Even Mike Pollitt this week. Mike Pollitt.
Well, it's
the club we are, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So, do you want me to go through the results of goalkeeper?
So, well, just to explain what's going to happen first.
So, okay, obviously we started off with goalkeeper. We ran a poll on Twitter and Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Just a quick, simple vote. Who do you like out of the 4 players that we select as a panel? You know, who we think are good enough to be in the Latix 11. It's not going to suit everyone's choice. Someone said, can we open it up so we can have everyone? But then we'd have ended up with Vladimir Stojkovic, Jakub Haugard, Dave Besson,
Richard Kingston.
We want to try and keep
Giuseppe
it.
Giuseppe Palladino. Sorry, Joe, I know you listen to this.
Who was that?
Carlo Nash.
Who was that lad from Bolton who we had who was all plus that should have been better than he was?
Bogdan,
yeah.
I mean, I know the people like, in this particular one that we had running.
He's in Scotland now, isn't he? Sorry, Si, go on.
This week we had Al Habsi, John File, and Roy Carroll and Roy Tunks. So we're trying to keep it around the age groups that we have, you know, we know listen, so we've got the younger generations, the older generations. Unfortunately for Roy Tunks, the older generations didn't vote because he got 2% of the vote on Twitter.
He wasn't very good, actually, Roy Tunks. He never came out for a cross. Never come off his line, Roy Tunks.
I got no votes on Facebook.
Yeah.
Then we had Roy Carroll, who finished in the same place on both Twitter and Facebook. He got 7% of the vote on Twitter, 5% on Facebook. Then was John Filan. A lot of conversation around these two because a lot of people like John Filan, Chris Kirkland and Ali Al-Habsi were in probably the group of people's favourites from the discussion that was had.
Out of us five here, four of us voted for John Filan, didn't we?
Yes, yeah. So Filan got 37% of the votes on Twitter and 31% on Facebook, meaning the winner quite clearly the winner. You know, with well over half the votes on Facebook, 64%, and 54% on Twitter was Ali Alhabsi. So he goes in as our goalkeeper, with John Phelan, who starts to make up the second string Latics 11.
So he'll be on the bench?
Yes, he's our bench warmer. So now we've got the arduous task.
Number two, right back.
Picking our right back. And now, obviously, this we could go on all night.
Who's this going to be? Boyce, or Boyce?
So, you've got to go Emerson Boyce.
Marion Melchior.
Melchior.
That's Carl Bradshaw.
Carl Bradshaw, yeah.
That's one of the older ones.
It's me done, then. Oh,
and then we're down to one more.
Well, I mean, it's a waste of time putting Pascal Chimbonda in there, even though he was a tremendous player,
yep.
Because, you know, he's sort of hated amongst quite a few Latics supporters.
Who would you be playing, Nicky Eden?
Or Matt Jackson? He came as a right back originally, didn't he? Nicky Eden, steady Eddie, wasn't he?
Yeah, I liked Eden. But then you've got Nathan Byrne, modern day player, he's done quite well.
He's done well, all right, but he's not.
He's only had one season, hasn't he? That's the thing.
And he's already been.
Butler.
John Butler's a great choice as well, yeah.
Neil Sherritt, shout out to Neil. He brought up John Butler, and I was talking to him about it.
I think, perhaps. So Bradshaw Butler from the older times. Even Bradshaw, you know, he wasn't that far back. And Melchiot and Boyce from. As a modern era, shall we say?
Yeah, we all.
I'm happy.
Right, so our right back will go out. I was talking to a friend about this the other day, and centre backs are going to be quite interesting because I think we've got a lot of competition.
Well, then we go in.
There's going to be eight we can pick from for two positions.
Yeah.
Strikers as well, because if you put the Duke and Roberts in the same category in one side of the vote. They're not on the other side, it really opens up. We've got to really think about it, because you could have the Duke, Roberts, Heskey, Grigg, Rodallega.
Well, maybe when it comes to that,
Henri Camara.
We just throw them all in together and just pick the top two.
Because it's a really tough category, isn't it? Yeah. But that's in 9 weeks' time.
Well, we'll face that problem when we get to it, that bit.
So, just to recap, your choices for the next week are Emerson Boyce, Mario Melchior, Carl Bradshaw, and John Butler.
Can't go wrong with them. Can't go wrong with them. Excellent. Right, we've got international roundup now. Something I've ripped off the Latics website, where they say it's been another proud week for Wigan Athletics Academy, as two of our first year of scholars, Joe Gildart and Jensen Weir, helped England under 17 to win the 2018 Cerenka Cup in Poland. Gildart and Weir played in the games against Norway, which we won 6-0, Portugal won 2-1, and Belgium won 6-2. So
Gildart scored as well.
Scored three goals in those three games. He scored twice in the win over Norway, and he came off the bench to score in the 6-2 victory over Belgium. The weird thing about it is Jensen Weir played, actually captain Scotland, didn't he? Under
17, yes.
Yeah, a couple of weeks back, so a bit weird. Any news on any of our internationals? I don't know why Adam's already mentioned that.
Tony.
Anthony Robinson, made the assist. Anything?
We touched on the Northern Irish beast scoring as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Rhys James played for England in the Netherlands. They lost 3-1.
Deutsch.
I don't know if Sammy's played.
I don't think he has. Someone said they heard him.
Marcy.
Yeah.
He had to pull out the team because he got injured like a week ago. He had a bit of a knock, apparently. After the
Someone game. Heard he heard his name shouted out when he crossed the finish line on Sunday in the 10K. So,
Oh, I didn't see him.
Have you been ahead of you, Barry?
No, I haven't been any of that whatsoever. Right, it's a two-game week this week. Well, I mean, thinking about it, at least three games, really, isn't it? We've got Brentford Saturday, Hull City Tuesday night, and then we've another game on Friday night as well. So it's
value.
A bit of a congestion. Yeah, quite a bit of value. I don't know if is anybody going for the three for a tenner, three for 30 quid.
No.
Good. I'm not even start mentioning that. Right, we've got Hull City on Tuesday down at the DW. The referee is David Webb. And
him again.
He was the referee on the final game of last season away at Doncaster, which was a fantastic occasion, wasn't it?
So does that mean we have a chance to get promoted again?
I think it does, yeah. He's 36, he's based in Lancashire, and he is a Sunderland fan.
Well, we gave him power, didn't we? Although he did get sent off, but he'll be thankful.
Yeah, he will. And James Vaughan as well, and he played for Sunderland, so...
Why aren't the refs going to be worried about that?
You never know. Yeah. I always thought, was David Webb the guy who's from the channel?
Yeah, we've done that joke before.
It was Captain Webb. Harry Webb. No, that's the preacher.
Yeah, we've done that one as well.
Okay.
Give us 5 minutes, let's see if we can find some more.
All right. Charlotte's Webb?
No, we've not done that one.
Bit sticky, isn't it?
Lost it here.
We've played. We've played Hull City previously 21 times. We've won 9, drawn 6, and lost 6. We always, every team we play, when we're reading these stats out, or I'm looking at them, we beat them more times than what they've beat us, more times than not. So, it's a good history we have during the years. The standout Hull City game for me was in the 1986-87 season when we went on an FA Cup run. And we got to the, well, I know what you're
gesticulating.
Yeah, I nearly said something else there. I'm not sure what it was. It was towards me, it's like, oh, you're gesticulating the 5-0. But for me, it was the win over them in the FA Cup quarterfinals.
I remember watching the FA Cup there when a certain Callum McManaghan scored back in the day.
Down here.
I remember watching them at their place as well.
Oh yeah, they brought a couple of young kids on. Did we draw the 2-2 and then brought some back?
Probably.
Here? Something like that, right. Which one's the standout then, Adam?
When we 5-0'd them in the Prem. Was it the first season they had in the Prem?
The first home game, wasn't it?
We turned up, didn't we?
Yeah, we turned up and did a job.
Zaki, Heskey.
Did we score a corner as well?
Yeah, Zinedine Kilbane scored straight from corner.
Zaki got. Did he get two that day, Zaki?
I think so, yeah. I think it was one of his first games.
Did Valencia score?
Who?
Valencia.
I don't know. Can't remember. Anyway, Gareth, have you got any stats on Hull?
The stats on Hull, they're not doing too well. It's a bit of an understatement, really, according to my mate. They're currently 21st in the league, having played 6 games, winning just the 1, drawing 1 and losing 4. They lost the first day at home to Aston Villa. They then drew at Sheffield Wednesday. They lost at home to Blackburn. They won away at Rotherham and they lost 2-0 to Stoke and lost at home again to Derby most recently. My mate's a Hull fan and he says they are the worst team since they were in Division 4. They are shocking.
What he said. Right. We've got a manager as well to go with him, aren't they? Nigel Adkins, many a Latics fan, screen for Adkins to come in at various points in our recent past. Well, obviously not doing the business there, is he? How do you see this one going, Gareth?
Going for another 2-0.
Oh, excellent. Adam?
4-0 to us. Right. Yeah, why not? We It's coming, innit?
Yeah.
We've got to do it at one point. I know we did 3-0 v Stoke, but like at home, I think we could just blow a team away. I think this could be the one.
Have they got a couple of big players, though? I don't mean like over 6 foot, but players they have in Premier League playing.
I think they've kind of lost that now. Oh, they have Reece Burke, who used to play.
Come back to
them
when we get beat
1-0. They're still on the parachute
payments. Yeah, was it Hernandez or Rodriguez or something?
Hernandez, Pablo Hernandez, wasn't it?
Abel Hernandez.
Has he gone now?
I think so.
Who's Pablo? Swansea.
Leeds now.
Bit in the paper.
Bit in the paper.
Paul, how do you see this one going?
Tuesday nights at the DW.
I like night matches. I don't have a clue what all I like, mine, but I like night matches.
That's like Gareth says, the crap.
Yeah, I like night matches. Yeah, looking where they are in the table, that Gareth just handily passed to me, we've got to win that, haven't we? You know, if we do fancy our chances of climbing up the table, you've got to put teams like that to bed at home. So I'll go with a 3-0. And just before I hand over to Simon, I can't find any new jokes for you about webs, but apparently communism jokes are not funny unless everyone gets them.
I'm going to go for a 2-0 Wigan win.
Oh, that's
my prediction for the week. And what about you, Barry? What's your prediction for the whole game?
I think it's going to be another 3. Well, I think this time it'll be 3-1, so I'm going for 3-1 to Athletics.
Super smashing great. Can I just give a shout out to Joe at the Red Brick Design? We're going to be launching a competition with him in the next week or so for a print of Springfield Park. So he will be coming up with some Spandangle competition. But have a look at him on Twitter and Facebook. Order some of his prints. They are really, really great designs. And along with that, Johnny Adamson's come on board with us as well to launch a competition to win some of his prints. So again, find Johnny on Twitter, have a look at his prints and get some order, because they are really great pieces of artwork. So now we've got our listeners' questions from our distance podcaster and friend of the show, Richard Ricardo.
Yeah, he's a good lad, Richard. He has a season ticket in the S7, I sit just further down than he does in that stand.
Yeah, so you can read his story about how he became a Latics fan. He's not local, is he? I believe.
No, he's from the Midlands. Very dedicated though to the Latics, isn't he? You know,
massively. Yeah. So have a read of his story on our Facebook group, Rugby for Unity Podcast. So question to the panel: we'll just work round in a circle. Why do we support Wigan, Barry?
We support Wigan because I was born in Wigan, I'm bred in Wigan, and Wigan Athletic are my football team.
I thought he was going to say he was a jar of Uncle Joe's mint balls then.
No. I mean, they've always been the team. All my life I've been growing up as a young lad, I think you become aware of teams when you get, like, really aware of teams. I mean, like 6 or 7, don't you? And I couldn't believe that we had a football team in the town, you know. Our town had its own football team. And then back in those days, the FA Cup exploits were legendary.
Yeah.
Due to certain circumstances, I weren't allowed to go to any games, and the first game I went to, I was 11 years old, so but that wasn't me, it was didn't want to go. I was always begging to go, but the first game I managed to get to was an FA Cup tie against Halifax Town, and I was 11 years old, and been hooked ever since, even hooked before.
It's in our DNA.
It is.
Gareth.
Similar to Barry, obviously I'm a Wiganer. You can tell that by my accent, amongst other things. I've been a Wiganer. I was born and bred in Wigan. And I've always followed Latics results. I've got to say, I wasn't a big fan. I didn't go to a lot of games until my son was born. He's now in his 20s. I started taking in, and I've been a season ticket holder since the day I started taking in. Probably about the time when they went up into the Championship from League One, and I've been, like I say, season ticket holder since then. Obsessed since then.
Yeah. Adam?
Well, I was born in Wigan, and from as long as I can remember, my granddad started taking me, who's obviously been supporting them all his life from the 50s, so he's always, from as long as I can remember, been taking me to games. I can't remember actually the first game I went to, but yeah, since, you know, the age of 3, 4, I've been going, and that's
tough one in your house, though, isn't it, as well?
Well, you know, I don't like to shout about this, but my dad, who is a Bolton fan, if no one had gathered, was taking me to Bolton one week and then Wigan the next week, up until I was, like, the age of maybe 9-ish, And then I
to make a decision.
Made my very easy decision. And that's
I'm sure he'll appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, I'll appreciate that one.
Paul, I know yours is a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, mine is a bit different. I've supported four different football teams over my what's now 47 years. First it was Man City, because I lived in Manchester, I was brought up in Manchester and I used to get taken there now and again. Then it was Bamber Bridge in non-league, because that was where I lived. And I did three seasons there, and then circumstances of my life changed and I went off to uni, and like the mate who I used to go with, I fell out of touch with. So I stopped going for quite a while. Then I had a season and a half watching Garswood under 10s, because I was primary transport for my nephew, and you know that was every bit as entertaining as watching pros play. Obviously the standard's not quite as good, but you know it's every bit as entertaining. And then a good few years back now, my missus bought her brother half a season ticket because he wanted to go for years, but their dad passed away when her brother was pretty much still a baby, so there was never anybody in the family to take him. And obviously with the main breadwinner having passed away, there wasn't a lot of money floating about either. So, but she bought him a season ticket. She said, can I get you one as well, and you go along with him? And they just went from there, really. And you know, now I get involved in podcasts and he just still goes and watches the football and that's it. He's not got sucked into the same level I have.
No, he says he passed him to come down. I think for me, it was when I was 7 or 8, going down to Springfield Park on the off chance. I was at my grandma and granddad's and their neighbours were going to watch Wigan. And, you know, I sort of knew about Wigan and the Three Amigos and all that were about at the time. We had the shirts, we had blue, white and green days at school and stuff like that. And just got this chance one Saturday afternoon to go down to Springfield Park and, well, I was up. I was sat in that Phoenix stand, like, kid at Christmas every week. You know, it was brilliant. And it's funny, similar to Paul, my dad was a City fan, but now season ticket holder at Latics, and always says at the end of every season, regardless of what's happened, we're coming again next year. And it is in our DNA, isn't it? You get hooked, and we'd go watching them if there was only us five going, wouldn't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Yeah.
Excellent. Just before we finish this evening, we've come to a group decision. Having completed the 10K, and we've talked about it amongst ourselves, I completed this week. As a group, we've decided to do next year's Wigan 10K, which is on the 1st of September, and we're going to be running for... I'll not say a charity, because I don't know if we're going to be raising money or not, but we're certainly going to be raising awareness of something that's close to all our hearts, and there'll be details of that perhaps coming out later in the year. But what I would say, if anybody wants to join us, please let us know that you do, and come and run with us, and we're going to get t-shirts made, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And looking around the table now, I'm not looking at athletes by any stretch of the imagination, am I? You know, and it's great that we're all doing it to get fit. We could lose a bit of weight, we're going to get fit, and we're going to shed a few tears on the way, a lot of laughs, and it's going to be fun, and we're going to have training sessions. If people want to join in and come with us, then please feel free.
Run, walk or crawl.
Crawl, yeah, that might be the one. We'll definitely, and afterwards we're going to have a big sausage and a pint. Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, the continental markets.
The continental markets. I actually had a bratwurst on Sunday. It was absolutely marvellous, I must say. And Oasis was singing on the stage as well, and they were something else. Absolutely something else. They were brilliant. So we've come to the end of another podcast. The games are coming thick and fast in the next few weeks. Don't forget to tune in each week to keep up to date with our competitions. We have some superb prizes of Latics memorabilia to give away, all courtesy of our newly formed partnerships. Next week there'll be reviews of Brentford and Hull, a preview of Bristol City, and special guest, as long as everybody's recovered, hopefully, fingers crossed, Mr. Paul Kendrick from the Wigan Evening Post, Wigan Observer, Latex correspondent. So that'll be interesting to get Paul here and give him a grilling about what he knows or doesn't know.
And he can collect his prize.
And he's going to pick his prize up, yeah. And also, Mark Hayes is coming into the studio in a week or two as well. So that'll be nice to, you know, to talk to Mark about his experiences on the Great North Run.
Good read on his Twitter as well about what went on.
Yeah. So we'll knock it on the head, and it's for another week, and it's a good night from me.
Good night from me.
Good night.